Hello out there and welcome. My name is Sharon Frosch and I am the Chief Operating Officer of the Discover Your Path You platform, where we believe that every life can teach and everyone can grow. To that end, I am also the host of this show, The Connection Sessions, where we bring together practitioners, entrepreneurs, artists, marketers, spiritualists, mentors, and students in an effort to connect to community, learn from each other, and grow. Today with me, I have our co-chief education officer, Karen Richards, which is a huge treat for all of you. She is extremely good at helping people with creative minds, artists, writers, etc., find confidence in their message and in what they create and thrive. So Karen, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us how you came to life coaching, why you focus on artists, and how you got here to DYPU.
Oh, that's a long story. Well, I've had several careers during my long life. My first one was in sales and marketing, which I loved. And then when I was raising my children, I went into my teaching career, which my undergrad was in art and education. So I decided that was a great career to pursue while I was raising my family. About 3 years ago, I became disillusioned with the idea that I wanted to continue working in the educational field until I retired. Mm-hmm. And I had already been experiencing life coaching by being coached by some really wonderful people. And I was seeing the commonality between teaching and coaching and began to study it myself. And was starting off with a creativity business where I was teaching people how to find out their way of painting or their way of collage, or just helping people experiment. Actually putting people back in the sandbox with me to play around. Let's play in the art room, because I was an art teacher the whole time. I don't think I mentioned that. And what I discovered was that there was a common thread in everyone I worked with, whether it was a student in the classroom or an adult student in a workshop, was the lack of confidence, the self-doubt in people's innate creative abilities, which I believe we all have. We just have chosen at some point in our life to repress that. And yet that desire, the older we get, the more it begins to bubble up to the surface. So I work with artists, writers, entrepreneurs. I work with people building businesses to get out from that idea that I can't do this because I've never been able to. And I try to get them to lean into the idea that, well, what if I could? How would it look? So I take my clients down a path of, let's explore it. Let's look at it from a creative aspect in terms of, let's try some different ways. Let's take some different paths to find where your true niche is, or the true creative craft that you want to work with. Let's fail a little bit so we can learn. Let's continue to explore the idea with that childlike sense of curiosity.
Yes, you are somebody who has helped me personally begin to more closely identify the what I want to offer, why I want to offer it, and to who I want to offer it. And that is something that is very rarely, rather unfortunately, taught in the coaching industry. So how do you help your client do that?
I try to help my client think about the idea that, who do you want to be to your audience, whether it's the people that would buy your book or buy your art. Who do you want to be to that person? How do you want to make them feel? What is it that really gets you excited in the morning when you get up? You know, is it going to that job that doesn't inspire you? Or is the idea that when I come home from that job, I get to play with my paint, or I get to work on the next chapter of my book? I want people to be excited about the next part of their life, whether they're choosing to leave a career and start a new one, or if they're choosing to enhance the career that they have by adding a more creative bend to it. So to stop living in that, this is the best I can do. I want them to see, how can you make it more inspiring? How can your life become more inspiring and more fulfilling by unlocking creatively what it is that you've always wanted to do? Right?
Yeah, one of the tools that you use and that I've actually had the pleasure of going through a session with you is a vision board, and either bringing, locating pictures online or locating pictures in magazines and actually sitting down and doing what many people in today's adult world might consider frivolous, in creating that visual map that you can see on a regular basis in front of you of what you want. I'm estimating that came from your career as an art teacher, but how have you so seamlessly moved that into your career as a coach?
Well, I truly believe that you as a entrepreneur or an artist need to begin to anchor yourself to some of the ideas that are floating around in your head. And I learned vision boarding years ago. I mean, Oprah's been doing these for years. Brene Brown, Ellen DeGeneres does vision boards in order to attract those things into your life that you most want to have. A vision board for me is not a literal representation of what you want. It's the idea that you want to begin to attract your ideal life. So that by having a vision board that gives you a visual reminder of the things that you would like to have more of in your life, you then begin to position yourself in situations that are going to allow those things to come to you. For example, if you want to experience more relaxation in your life or more, peace, you may find an image of a person on a yoga mat. And so sometimes you get the literal representation where you're sitting on the yoga mat like that, or sometimes you just simply go into the feeling of, okay, yes, I want this in my life. I mean, I have vision boards that are in my view from right here that are all about what I wanted to accomplish in this past year. I also encourage my clients to do quarterly vision boards, thinking about what your quarter, what you want it to look like. What are the things that you want to attract in your life? What are the things you want to focus on? Mm-hmm. So that every day they're not focusing on what they don't have. They're focusing on where their vision is taking them.
That's so powerful.
I think so.
One of the things that is so important about your business is that every human being on earth has a message to share. We internally critique that and just pound it down until we're afraid to even speak at all. And then the power of that message that our audience, everybody has an audience somewhere, is just dying to hear gets lost. So how do you help your clients regain that trust in themselves and in their own unique message?
How do I do it? I mean, I am not your linear style coach at all. I'm a very organic style coach. When I'm working with a client, I ask and listen and feel, and I wait to hear what it is that starts bubbling up for them. And my favorite question to always ask is, what if you did know the answer to that problem? Because when you ask a client a question like that, they go, well, if I did know, this is what I might do. And it begins to, that I see those creative wheels begin to turn.
Yeah.
And begin to expand on them. So the other thing that I encourage my clients to do is to play with ideas, to experiment with things, to accept failure as an opportunity to learn. So the more my clients go out there and make big old messes and do it a little poopy at times, the more they're learning about what it is maybe that they don't want to do, or maybe how they might want to adapt what they're doing to fall more in alignment with what their core values are and what it is that is so essentially important to them. So I do go through typical, coaching modality ideas with, establishing core values, talking about life balance. I've got my own methods for doing this, but it's all about getting to the heart of who you are and really getting comfortable with that person that you are in your business, in your art, anywhere.
Going upon a comment that you made in yesterday's live, you said, be perfect-ish.
Yeah.
Would you expound on that?
Perfect-ish is striving for a high level of achievement, but accepting the fact that it's never going to be perfect. It's just going to be perfect-ish. For right now, this is the best I've got. I put all of my effort in. In other words, when people strive for perfection and they don't hit the mark, say this is perfection, they don't hit the mark, they feel like failures. But what I try to encourage my students and my clients to understand is that as long as you're going toward your ideal, even if you don't hit it, you're hitting perfect-ish. Mm. Because you're not giving up. You're continuing to strive for that high ideal that you may have set for yourself.
So and kind that, of that same thing that if you shoot for the moon, if you fail, at least you'll land among the stars.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Same kind of idea is that don't shortchange yourself. Like, you know, when I taught watercolors, for example, when my clients would say, you know, what supplies do I need to get? I said, the most important thing you need to buy in watercolor painting is good paper. Because if you paint on bad paper, you're going to get bad results.
Good point.
And it's the same kind of thing with coaching. If you only go for the easy fixes, the, you know, the little, you know, 5 steps to having a happier life, you know, you're gonna have those extrinsic, you know, kind of, oh, everything's great for today. Then tomorrow you fall back in the pit. But if instead you get people to understand that you've got to have lifestyle changes to live more fulfilling lives, you've got to really dig deep into what it is that really, really turns the music on for you. What really gets you excited. Go back to that childlike sense of, ooh, that's exciting. I want to find that next big way of painting with my feet. You know, why not play with it? I give my clients a safe place to be kids, to explore what they maybe not have given themselves time to explore before, because they've been, oh, what I should be doing this, or, you know, my mother's a great artist. I'm never going to be as good as her. Okay. You're not, going to be her because you're not her. So let's be you. Let's see what you got to do. I laugh a lot with my clients too. They think I'm kind of.
That's so important. I know that I'm not so much with my clients, but as a sponsor in AA, I laugh with my sponsees, especially through that part of the inventory, which most people believe to be extremely painful, because that laughter is what lets us be able to anchor into those deeper things and not be so afraid.
Right.
It really is.
When you fear is what stops us so much. Fear is what stops most people.
It does, and most of the time, the thing that we're most afraid of really doesn't exist at all. They're the specters of our own limiting beliefs, but not reality in any way, shape, and or form. So I hear you saying that what you love to do is to basically take a client and kind of crack their mind open like a nut, where there's actually more room for them to expand and to believe different things and to have new ideas. Would that be a fair estimation?
Yeah. Clear out the clutter and lean into the what if. What if I could?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's extremely powerful, because that's not something that we as a society really allow asking a lot. It's, well, it's just not possible. It's that very black and white thinking. So bringing those shades of gray, not only does it help you in art, but it obviously also helps you with people.
Right. And stop shooting all over yourself, right? I should be doing this. I should be doing that. My mother told me I should do that. You know, let it go. There are no shoulds in the real world. Just do what you got to do. As long as you're not hurting anybody, it's all good. Let's play. So I believe that, you know, I've discovered as I've transitioned from being in the classroom where there was a strict set of, you know, parameters that I had to work within, is that those parameters are there for safe reasons. So it's a good idea if you're feeling like maybe you're designing a business and you're really not sure what direction to go. It's a great idea to hire a coach or to get involved in a program that's going to help you put some shape or some form to what it is that you're trying to design. As long as it's not the kind of program or coach that's going to make you fit in that box. So, you know, I would, you know, when I'm working with people who are designing their businesses and they're like, well, this is how so-and-so did it. I want my business to look just like that person. I'd be like, do you have the same ideal client? Well, I'm not sure who my ideal client is. Well, let's dig into that first. Because yes, their business looks all bright and shiny to you because they're making X amount of money or whatever value you're basing on that. But let's, instead of thinking about how you should do it, let's look at how you might want to do it and what's going to be the best for you and for the client that you want to serve.
It's really interesting. Joseph Campbell, who was a prolific mythologist from the 20th century, taught extensively about how when you learn or when you grow, don't do it for mom and dad, because mom and dad have a completely different function in your life than you do. Mom and dad spend 18 years raising you and keeping you safe. And even after you go away to college, and he taught college for over 4 decades, even then the purpose behind sending you to college is a safe future, is making sure that you're taken care of. And if you surrender to what mom and dad want now, you will never find your bliss. So how would you help a client who's really clung to the belief systems of somebody who has a counterintuitive role in their lives right now?
Oh, I've dealt with clients that have that issue. And the way that I've approached it with them is, let's pretend like that's not an obstacle.
I love it.
I play a lot of games with my clients, and let's just pretend that that's not an obstacle. Let's pretend that your mother approves of everything you do, and you know that. How would it feel for you to explore this if you knew there were no limitations? Where would be the first place that you would want to explore? And usually that starts cooking up some ideas about things they want to play around with.
Yeah.
So I'm a very task-oriented coach too. My clients always have homework. I'm always like, okay, here's what you're going to need to report to me on. Mm-hmm. By the end of this week, I want to hear about what kind of experiences you've had in adopting the idea that, what if I didn't have to worry about someone's approval? How would I act? You know, and that's when I get reports from my client. I'm dancing at the grocery store.
That's awesome right there.
So, you know, when you start getting outside of your own skin and saying, you know, it really doesn't matter. As long as nobody's being hurt and I'm bringing joy into my life and possibly the lives of other people, I'm doing what I'm meant to do on this planet, because that's ultimately what my vision is to help people uncover what it is that they're innately equipped to offer to this world and to get out there and offer it.
I love about you that you are a coach who allows. You allow for failure. You allow for changes. You allow for staying. One of my favorite sayings in AA is stay loose for change. You allow that loose space where we can change. And you yourself right now in your own coaching business are involved in basically changing your own ideal clients. And if I understood correctly from the conversation that we had previously, it's somewhat related to a new book out by the same author who put out The Artist's Way, Julie Cameron, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. She put out a book. It's, now I can't think of the name of it, but it's all about the next journey, your legacy career. What is it that you want to do that you've never given yourself permission to do because you've been so busy doing the adulting? So now that you're an adult and you might have the time and the opportunity because you've invested a lot of energy into a previous job, so you may not have the financial constraints that would require you to stay in that job. What would you do? Are you going to sit on the sofa and watch Netflix, or are you going to get out there and be a part of the world? I try to help people look for their next opportunity. This is my legacy career. I plan on doing it for 10 years and then who knows, we'll see how it's going back then, you know, up in that point. But my whole point is that I'm not ready to retire my creative spirit and my ability to teach people how to push themselves to the next level. So, and that's what Julia Cameron really does foster in people, is the idea that this is just the next chapter. I mean, the society now, we live to be very elderly people. Yeah. And I mean, my father will be 95 next month. And I'm like, yeah, great genes. But I want to be like him and have a fulfilling life all the way through it. And maybe changing careers here and there is a great thing. And in terms of re-identifying my ideal client, I've actually gotten to more of a discernment of that ideal client, so that the people that I'm currently working with are really my perfect clients. They are the kind of people that have opened themselves up to working with me and have just made these amazing adventures out of their lives. They fall down and I'm there to pick them up because I partner with people. I don't leave you down in the ditch by yourself. I pick you up and brush the dirt off you, or maybe I jump in the puddle with you, whatever. But I want people to be always thinking that they can do whatever it is they dream of. And don't let the outside shoulds keep you from living a life that you really want.
Yeah, and we were
branding's all about that.
In our board meeting this morning, we were talking about Brené Brown and her video on Netflix. I believe it's A Call to Courage.
Yes.
And she talks about in this video about how if you get into the arena of life, if you get in and you decide that you are going to live this life and to put yourself out there, you're going to experience failure. But that part of experiencing that failure and not experiencing the soul crushing side of it is deciding that if you, the viewer or whoever your audience is, are not willing to get into the arena with me, I am not open to or willing to listen to your feedback on my work. And I love how powerfully you convey that to your clients, that you don't let the people in the cheap seats cut your legs out from underneath you and hold on to that feedback. So where did the idea, long before A Call to Courage came out, did you come up with something that profound, and how do you weave that into the lives of your clients?
Because that's me. That's, you know, I am the after of my clients before. I was not born a self-confident, creative soul who just didn't give a rip what people thought about her. Mm. It's taken me many years to get this crazy, I guess. But
that you are.
But there's so many thought leaders that have inspired me from, I mean, Elizabeth Gilbert is one that comes to mind. She is such a courageous, vulnerable, thinking person. Tosha Silver's another one. There's so many of them out there who are constantly pushing the envelope of things don't have to be the way the generation before us told us we have to be. And Brené Brown's most recent book is The Gift of Imperfection is like my, you know, like that should be a billboard on my face. Completely imperfect, but loving life, you know, that's good. Because imperfection is what makes us human. It's what makes us interesting.
Yes.
If everybody was, you know, perfect, it'd be really a boring place to be.
A tremendously boring place.
So it was coming to the realization of, I guess about 10 years ago when I actually entered into a life coaching relationship with a coach, that I began to realize that my life was imbalanced in so many areas, and that I was worrying too much about the financial aspects of my life and the grasping of possessions and trying to control things. That once I started realizing that my life had to become more balanced in the areas of my spiritual health and my physical health and my emotional, you know, calming down the constant desire to go for more. I've got to have more. I've got to have another degree. I've got to have that. And really living into the fact that I want to make the best use out of what I have and really uncover those gifts that are inside of me.
Isn't it interesting how we, especially in Western society, spend our entire lives not doing what we want to protect the life that we don't want because we want to have more life? Isn't that an interesting conundrum?
It makes no sense to me, but...
But that's what we do, and I can't speak for you, but I know that I encounter so many of my clients who initially are coming from that exact standpoint. Well, I can't do that because what if I died? Or I can't do that because what if I lost this? And one of the things that I learned in AA that was so powerful for me is that fear is almost always coming from the perspective of either I'm not going to get something that I want or I'm going to lose something that I already have. And that when we detach from that, the fear side, and attach to, if I die, I die, but at least I'm going to die laughing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, how do you help your clients like absorb that effervescent joy that catapults us into looking for those things that make us shine rather than those things that make us safe?
Well, I guess the best way that I could imagine that I help my clients do this, because each client I coach so differently, is I really do dig deep into what it is that really gets them excited.
Right.
I really love to help them uncover what's a passion or what's something you've always wanted to do but never given yourself permission.
Yeah.
And what if you were to do it? Just do it.
Yeah.
Without any thought about failure or what other people are going to think. Just what if? Give it the what if. And then as people begin to uncover those things and dig those things out, they become more courageous because they realize, oh, well, that didn't hurt too bad. So let's try another thing. And, you know, and we just keep playing with those ideas about the what ifs. You know, what if I could? What if I did? Curiosity. Curiosity is the best thing on the planet. I mean, thank you, God, for inventing curiosity, because that's what makes life fun.
I remember the first time I'm sure I had done it before, but the first time I actually remember asking my maternal grandfather, well, Grandpa, what if? And he turned and looked at me and said, what if worms had machine guns? Would we all still fish? And it was like, it just like totally threw me for a loop, but it helped me to understand that those what if questions are just designed to keep us locked in a pattern, rather than exploring outside of it, what we might want, what might be possible. So that's one of my favorite things about you as a coach. And I've had the absolute pleasure of experiencing you as a coach. I've had the pleasure of experiencing you doing your vision boards, which are profoundly incredible. And if you had any parting words to our audience here, we have Monique, we have Andrea, we have Margaret. What would your parting words be to people who might possibly be struggling with releasing that inner confident creative?
Believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. Believe in the fact that you are human and you were created with this amazing mind that can design the inspiring life that you want, whether it's a life filled with people or careers or art, music, whatever. That you can do it. You've got it inside. Sometimes you may need a little help unlocking it, but just do it. And lean into every day saying, well, I don't know the answer to that, but what if I did? Where would I go? Yeah. Be curious. Have fun. Make a mess. Indeed. That's what I would say.
That's excellent advice. Well, to everyone who joined us today, to Margaret, Andrea, Monique, and I can see there are two other people, but I can't see you in the feed, so I apologize for not mentioning you by name. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you do catch this video later on when we're no longer live, do us a favor and just drop us a hashtag replay in the video so that we know that you were here. And please feel free to initiate conversation in the chat, because that's what it's all about. Each one teach one. So thank you guys for being here today. Thank you for spending time with us. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time for another interview. And until then, thank you so much for joining us. And bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Thank you.